Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. And I am coming to you live from London. Wait, I'm not in London anymore, actually. I'm in Cheltenham, which is in the English countryside. Yeah, I'm here on a personal retreat. It's a little life reset retreat. And I couldn't think of a better time to press reset on my life, if I'm being quite fucking honest. The trip didn't start off really on a good foot, though. See, the time for the flight online was in military time, and I don't know how to tell military time. I mean, I can figure it out, but it doesn't come to me right away. And so I actually misjudged what time my flight left by about, a 4 fucking hours. I thought my flight left at 9:20 p.m. It left at 5:20 p.m. So when I got up on Sunday, I had so many things to do and I had all of these plans. I was going to record a podcast. Actually, I was going to record a podcast with Madison because it's way easier to podcast with another person. But that went right out the door because around 1:30, I checked my flight and it said that it actually departed at 5:20 p.m. And I was like, uh-oh, I gotta fucking pack. But I didn't freak out, which was good. And I knew that I was pretty prepared in terms of the outfits I was gonna wear and confident in that. But whenever you're packing in such a haste, it's like, you definitely forget something. Like when I went to Vegas the second time, I forgot a bra. I forgot socks. What else? My mascara. I kept it cool. I didn't let it bother me. But in the past, it sure as shit would have thrown my trip into the shitter. You know what I'm saying? I flew British Airways here. And if I'm being completely candid with y'all, I did fly in first class with British Airways, which I don't see how I could ever come back from that. There's nothing like having your own little cubby and having a British flight attendant, because all the flight attendants on British Airways are British, come and check on you and attend to you. Her name was Carol. Carol, I loved her, wanted to be best friends with her. And then there was the manager. Or she said she was like the manager of the floor. There were 2 stories to this plane, an upstairs and a downstairs. This bitch was big. It was a big old bitch. So Carol was lovely and she comes up to me and she's like, oh, would you like a sleep suit and some slippers? I'm like, a sleep suit? I didn't get one because I was basically all of my clothes are sleep suits. I basically live in athleisure wear or sweats. But I declined the sleep suit and accepted the slippers. I also watched Saltburn while I was on the plane. The only movies that they had on for available to watch were British movies. I didn't think that would have been the case, but it was. And I was fine with it. Saltburn is amazing and gross and titillating, and I don't even know what that word means, titillating. I'm gonna have to look that up. Hold on 1 second. What if it means something disgusting? Titillating. Oh, arousing, mild sexual excitement, or interest. Salacious. Yeah, fuck it. It was titillating. I mean, what's his name? Jacob Elordi. Okay. Gosh, he's so fucking hot. And I didn't know he was British because I saw him in, honestly, I hated his character in Euphoria, but I didn't know he was actually British. learn something new. Even though I flew first class to London, I did not sleep very well on the plane. I mean, I really only slept like 2 hours, and that ain't long enough. But I was so proud of myself because I landed in London, in Heathrow, and got my luggage, and I took the train, the Heathrow Express train, straight to where I was staying in Paddington Station, like Paddington Bear. And I stayed at the lovely Hilton inside of Paddington Station. And when I got to the front desk, I was so fucking relieved to learn that my room was actually already ready. And so I went right in that bitch and I took a 5-hour nap. I was so exhausted. But I ended up making myself a lovely little day in London. I could have stayed inside. I actually debated on whether I should just stay in and rest or if I should go out and see the sights. And I opted for the latter. Got my cute little outfit on. And I, even though I don't have a phone plan here, I can use Wi-Fi. There's Wi-Fi basically fucking everywhere. And it's free, typically. I've only seen that it's been free. And when you're using Wi-Fi, you can call, you can text, you can use WhatsApp, and all of your other internet needs. So I get my cute little outfit on, and I decide that I need to find somewhere to eat. And I'm walking around, and it was fucking cold. Like, in the 60s, like in the high 60s, but still, the sun wasn't out. I mean, it was out, but there was a lot of cloud coverage preventing the sun from shining. And that affected the temperature a lot. I mean, it is, like, colder in the summer here, I feel, than it gets in Miami, like, ever. But it was lovely. And I'm walking around and I spot this little Italian place, go inside, have a glass of Prosecco, a couple of espresso martinis. I had these mushrooms stuffed with mozzarella cheese and then some olives. I was not expecting the olives to have pits in them. And there really is not a delicate way to eat an olive while it is pitted. And so I'm like sitting at the table, like having to spit out these pits like a damn animal. But I didn't care because I was in London living my best damn life. And I got some food and I was like, okay, I want to do something. I want to go somewhere, but I don't want to, one, have to get an Uber or a taxi or go very far. I really would like to walk and stretch my legs. So I settled on walking through Hyde Park to the department store Harrods. My friend from Dubai told me that I should go to Harrods because I was like, what should I do while I'm in London? She's like, you should go to Harrods. I really didn't know what I was walking into. I knew that it was bougie. I knew that it was luxury. And those are things that I like a lot, but I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I wasn't prepared for the amount of wonderful fucking stores that were in that building. I mean, there was food, there was Tiffany's, there was perfume, there was accessories. I mean, like Balenciaga, Dior, Gucci. I mean, any designer, any high-end designer you could think of was in that store. I'll be dead honest. I had a preconceived idea about the UK and specifically the UK people. I thought in my head that the UK people were not going to really take kindly to me, an American. You know, Americans are like pompous and we think we're the shit and we're number one, America. Listen, we do a lot of things great, but there are things we don't get right. And I don't feel like we really acknowledge that all that much. And instead, which just like a bit of a delusion that we do everything fucking perfect. And we don't. I mean, we do a lot right, but not everything. So I kind of, and I can't hide that I'm an American, right? Because my accent, I mean, I could try a British accent, but I think that would even reveal my Americanism even more. Now, the flight attendants were so lovely to me. And I was like, of course they're being nice to you. That's their job. But the niceness of the British people was really tested when I went to Harrods and asked to be seated at the sushi bar, which was closing at 8 p.m. and it was 7:59. I didn't realize that. And the lovely host said that he would seat me. And I just knew that every single person working at the restaurant, the little pop-up restaurant that I was at, was cursing my name. I mean, how fucking annoying is it for someone to be sat at 7:59 p.m. when you close at 8 p.m.? I was just like, oh my God, they're gonna hate me. If they weren't making the food right in front of me, they would spit in it. I mean, probably not, but you know, I would understand almost. So I sit down at the sushi bar and I make direct eye contact with the guy who is making the sushi. And I was like, listen, I know. I will be so quick. I promise. I don't mean to be here when y'all are just closing up. I will be quick. I promise. He's like, oh, no, it's okay. And then I see him making eye contact with other people, like speaking through his eyes to his colleagues, like, this fucking bitch. But I guess if he said it in his head, it would be in an accent. But I think he wasn't actually British. I think he was French. Speaking of, there's so many fucking cultures in London. So many cultures. It is so diverse. Very multicultural. I was just soaking it in. Just all of the different cultures. So the guy at the sushi bar acted like it was fine. And absent the, you know, direct, exaggerated eye contact. And then another guy came over to take my drink order. And I was like, I'll just have a glass of Prosecco. I'm so sorry. I will be very quick. I realize y'all are closing soon and I do not want to hold y'all hostage here and I'm not going to drag out my dinner. I promise. Really, what I'm on the search for is sushi with cream cheese. This is very controversial with my chef friend. He thinks that sushi does not need cream cheese at all. I prefer it. But what I've been finding is that it's not really a common thing all that much. But that still doesn't mean that I don't fucking love it. Well, surprise, surprise, this place in Harrods did not have cream cheese. Actually, you know what? I didn't even fucking ask. I wasn't going to rock that boat. I wanted to get in and get out. Well, I wanted to, you know, enjoy myself a little bit, which I did. So I got my Prosecco, I ordered a salmon skin and avocado roll. It was delicious. Oh my God, my mouth is watering. It was delicious. I might have to go look at the fridge after this podcast is over. Anywho, so I get my Prosecco, I get my sushi, and I'm eating and I'm enjoying. And there are other people there. It's not like I'm the only one there. There are other patrons dining in. And then this guy, the guy who was, who got me the Prosecco, he was like, I think he was French too. He was like, I don't even know if I can even attempt a French fucking accent. He was like, you have a beautiful smile. Don't ever change your smile. See, that's terrible. That's a terrible French accent. What the fuck am I thinking? Okay, nix the accent. And he said, you have a beautiful smile. I can tell that you just are very enthusiastic and you seem very positive. He goes, don't change your smile ever. And I was like, oh my God, me? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you know, normally I always feel like people who give compliments are like wanting something, but he didn't want anything. You don't tip in fucking Europe, I guess. Well, they didn't ask for a tip. There wasn't a place to leave a tip. And there was a $3 tip that was added. And I was like, that's fine. I can take it. Also, side note, the food and the alcohol, way cheaper. And while we're on alcohol, the alcohol is different. It does not give you a hangover. What is that? I had a Prosecco yesterday and then two espresso martinis and then another Prosecco. And then when I got back to my hotel, I had two large glasses of wine, and I don't really drink normally. And I woke up this morning fresh as a daisy. I didn't even need to take Advil. What the fuck? I have two glasses of red wine that I get in America and I have a headache. Like, what? Also, the food. There's something different about the food. It, like, you can eat a lot of food and you're not going to feel bloated. I don't understand. I ate a half a pizza last night for room service. Had half a pizza and a bowl of chili and sweet potatoes. And I woke up this morning and I was not bloated. I did not feel super full. I don't know. It's magic. I might move here. So that guy gives me this wonderful compliment. And that wasn't the first compliment that I got. I had to go buy a converter for my chargers because I totally forgot to get one in the U.S. And the guy who got the converter for me, he was British. He was like, oh, you're very beautiful. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, is someone paying y'all to do this? Like, did my therapist put y'all up to this? I don't get it. So after Harrods, I walked back, and let me just say, I'm just like making it like it was a little jaunt, but it was like almost a 2 mile walk there through Hyde Park. And I navigated my way through there on no Wi-Fi. Like, I'm very proud of myself. So it's, what was it like? It was about 9 o'clock and I'm walking back through Hyde Park and it's still light outside. When the fuck does the sun set? It's 9:40 in right now, and the sun is still out. It's kind of crazy. I didn't even realize that was a thing here. I woke up at 4 this morning, and the sun was out. I'm like, what the fuck? So that's kind of wild, but I liked it, because last night there were so many people out and about, and it's light, like families and kids and everybody just hanging out in the park, and it's because it's bright outside. I was like, this is amazing. So I walked back to my hotel, and I think because I had taken the 5-hour nap previously that day, I was not tired. And I know that there is a big soccer or football match or tournament going on right now. I don't really know which one it is. I should probably look that up so I look less American. But I went to the bar and they were playing a soccer match and people were watching, and I had two lovely glasses of wine, Pinot Grigio, so delicious. Like, I don't know why it's different. There's something different. The production, the rules, the laws about what we're allowed to put in food and drink, it's obviously different. The FDA should take a little fucking note, okay? The bar manager at the hotel was very lovely. And I thought he was trying to flirt with me, but every time I started to talk, he would talk over me. And I did not like that. I'm like, okay, you kind of just want to hear yourself talk now. I get it, but go sports. And he was telling me that he is halfway an extrovert, halfway an introvert. And I'm like, well, you seem outgoing enough to me right now to be talking, so you're leaning on your extroverted side this evening, my man. So then I go up to my room and I'm really still not tired. But then all of a sudden I'm hungry. And I was like, bitch, I'm ordering room service. So I get a margarita pizza. I get chili. And I was like, I want to watch a little movie or something. Now, normally I would watch Peacock. And I mean, I got lots of shows in queue. I hear Love Island US right now is very good, the current season, but I haven't watched it. So I was going to get on Peacock to go watch it. You can't watch Peacock in the UK. You have to be in the US. Why? I don't understand that. I don't get that. So then I'm like, well, let me just try Sling. I bet it's not available either. And it wasn't. But guess what? Guess what was? Netflix. I didn't even check to see if HBO is, because you know how I feel about them. So I watched The Devil Wears Prada on Netflix and ate half a pizza. Oh, fuck, I'm hungry. Wait, I think I saw some chips downstairs. I might have to open that. They did say that we're allowed to go peruse the kitchen and have snacks and get beverages and whatnot. So I might do that. Anyway, so I'm watching my movie And I even get my Advil because I'm thinking that I'm going to be so hungover the next day because I drank way more than I normally do. I could not believe I didn't wake up with a hangover. Like, I'm almost still stunned. It's almost like I want to test how many drinks I can have before I get a hangover. I know that's probably not a very good, like, experiment to be doing while on vacation. But who knows? I mean, after I leave the, I'm going to at the retreat for a few days. And then after I leave the retreat, I'm going to go back to London and stay in a different part of town and stay there for about 3 nights and then fly back to the US, back home to my Miami. But I might have to test that theory, the alcohol theory, when I am in London for the next few days. I was kind of nervous before leaving for my trip, like while I was still in the US. And I think it was because, you know, the 4 hour time, the 4 hours that I lost in my brain kind of fucked with me. And all of a sudden I got a little bit panicked. You know, I didn't freak out, but like I did get a little panicked and I kind of started crying like while I'm packing. And I just started feeling like really upset that I don't want to leave my daughter. I didn't want to leave my dog or the cat. And I just wanted to stay home. And even though I knew that the trip was going to be very good for me, I was like, I kind of don't want to go. And I'm scared because I'm about to go, you know, on a retreat with all these women that I don't know. What if they don't like me? And I was also kind of scared to travel alone. It's like in a foreign country. I don't know the currency. I don't know, like, the railway system or whatever. And I was planning on taking trains everywhere. But I did it. I did it. I'm really fucking proud of myself. And this morning, I got a train from London to Cheltenham. You know, I was calling it Cheltenham because that's how it's spelled. But when I was speaking to Carol, my flight attendant on British Airways, I told her that I was coming. I was like, so I'm going to Cheltenham. I was like, have you heard of it? She was like, yes, but Brits just call it Cheltenham. I was like, noted, Carol. Fucking noted. So I was on the train today to Cheltenham. And all of a sudden, the conductor got over the intercom. And he was like, okay, there is a breakdown or some sort of destruction up ahead on one of the stops. So we're actually not going to be able to make it to Cheltenham today. And you're going to have to get off at this one station and get a different train to Cheltenham. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, now I'm going to have to get off this train. Do I have to buy another train ticket? What if another train doesn't come? I was kind of stressing a little bit. But it was fine. The train attendants were so lovely. And they came and told me exactly where to get the new train. They're like, you got to go on platform 3. It leaves at this time, 14:09. And you'll be on platform 3 and you will take you right to Cheltenham. And I'm like, thank you, my friend. It was at that time that in the group chat that we have for this retreat, that I found out that there was another girl also on the train who had to depart. So we met up, obviously hit it off pretty quickly. I feel like everyone who's on this trip is, they're very open. They're very vulnerable and ready to connect. And when you have people who are like that, it's like you can bond instantly. Well, we did. And we started talking and you wouldn't believe it, but we missed the train despite standing on the platform. We missed the fucking train to Cheltenham. I'm like, oh my God. And the way we figured out we were missed is like, you know, it's past 14:09. I'm like, well, let's go ask this guy who works here. And I was like, hey, there was a train going to Cheltenham. He's like, oh yeah, you just missed it 2-3 minutes ago. And I was like, didn't see it. He's like, yep. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, is there another one leaving soon? He goes, yep, 14:44. 14:44. I'm like, okay. So we sit down and we wait, which is like, there's like a train every like 20, 30 minutes. And the guy comes back around when the train's coming. He was like, this is the train y'all need to get on. Like, he did not have to do that. He did not have to go out of his way to make sure that we were on the correct train. I was very grateful. And honestly, continuing to dispel my preconceived ideas about people in the UK. So we get on the train, heading to Cheltenham. We make it. There are taxis waiting at the railway station. It couldn't have been easier. Even though we had to get off our train, it could not have been easier and simple. And we told them where we were staying, and the taxi brought us right there. It was so easy. And when we got here, think English farmhouse. Think modern English farmhouse. That is the aesthetic here. I have one of the biggest tubs I've ever seen in my life in my room. I cannot wait to take a bath in that later. Like, I cannot wait. Everyone has their own private room. I think there are 10 girls here. Everyone has their own private room. I have a private bathroom. I'm not sure if everyone has a private bathroom, but I definitely do. And I appreciate it so much. The room is huge. And it's in the English countryside. It's gorgeous. I mean, they're just rolling hills. There was a deer that was running. There's cows. There's sheep. There's just everything that you would imagine would be in the English countryside is here. Every single old man I've seen is wearing a long sleeve shirt with a vest with a little cabbie hat. Absolutely precious. So we get here, they show us to our rooms, and then we have a gorgeous dinner prepared by a fantastic, and I mean famous, private chef. Like, he was David Beckham's chef. Like, how the fuck did we get this lucky? I don't understand. But I'm taking it and I'm accepting it. We had tuna nachos. We had a tomato salad with burrata cheese. And that was a starter. I think there was something else, but I can't remember. And then for the main course, we had beef Wellington. It didn't get much more British than beef Wellington. Traditional British dish. And I was thinking it was going to be gross, but it was delicious. I actually wish I would have eaten more of it now. But we got in bathing suits after dinner. And I didn't want to be all bloated after dinner, but I don't even know if British food makes you bloat. I really don't think it does. Also, my tummy issues, so I just, you never know. You're in a foreign place, and you don't want to be the girl with the shits. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not cute. It's just not cute. Oh my gosh, and then for dessert, there was this amazing lemon tart. Oh, it was so good, and it was very different because he, like, caramelized it on the top, so it was a little crunchy. Damn it, my mouth is watering. We all went around the table and introduced ourselves and, just told us a little background, a little bit about ourselves. I'm just so, astonished that all the women were saying that they, were going through major life changes and needed something and were looking for, a life reset. And I mean, it makes you feel like not alone, because even though I feel like major changes, you feel like you're going through it by yourself, right? It's lonely going through all these major changes, major life. If you're getting a new job, if you're changing cities, if you're changing homes, even just big life changes like that can feel really lonely. So hearing that these women from all over the world are experiencing the same thing and are searching for more understanding and growth and development, it's just beautiful, and it's really nice to be around like-minded people. I'm like, I don't want to leave. I think I'm going to move here. I might move into this little cute ranch house. They're going to have to kick me out. I'm going to have tell them I have squatter's rights. Oh, my God. After dinner and dessert, we were told to go put on our bathing suits and that we would do a little sound bath and, ceremony. We're walking into, it's an indoor pool, so it's not cold, it's very warm, and it feels nice. And when we walk in, there is this woman set up with crystals and flowers and candles all along the pool, and all of these different sound making devices like gongs and shells and sound, and like a sound bowl and everything. And also there's a little table, and across, spread out across the table, are all of these cards. And then there is also a little cup of tea. And we were doing the ceremony with a, God, what was it called? Blue Lotus. It was called Blue Lotus. And it supposedly has hallucinogenic properties. They didn't tell us that, but when I looked it up later, that's what it said. And so whenever we were walking in, they told us we were doing like a little tea ceremony. And the only time I've ever heard of people doing tea ceremonies is when they are for like tripping and hallucinating. And so I turned to the women running the retreat and I was like, are we doing hallucinogenic tea? And I was like, I'm just kidding. They're like, kind of. So I didn't hallucinate or anything like that, but I definitely felt like, you know, very calm and relaxed. And the woman told us, who was leading the ceremony, told us that the herb blue lotus, that it was used in ancient Egypt. And I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. I just don't know. It feels so cruel to like be using something that has been around for so long, you know? Culturally, that just seems pretty cool to me. So we drink the tea and then we each choose a card. And there was a little book that told you what each card meant. And it's kind of like tarot cards, but it's not tarot cards. I feel like some people don't feel comfortable with tarot cards in the sense that they think it's like witchcraft or something like that. But this was cool. My card that I drew said timing on it. And I read the book, the little paragraph about what it said, and I can't really remember at this point, but another girl who is here took a picture of it for me, and she's going to send it to me tomorrow. And I'll probably podcast again, either from the retreat or either from London. Haven't decided, but your girl is working even on a retreat, even on vacation. I'm coming to you with the hot hallucinogenic tea. Okay, so we drink the tea. I don't think anyone was hallucinating. So we drink the tea, and then they have these like little floaties for us, but you're immersed in the water. But thank God your hair didn't get wet though, because I was not into getting my hair wet. I'm like, but I was accepting it. If we were getting our hair wet, I would get my hair wet. I brought shampoo and conditioner just in case I needed to wash my hair, but hopefully I won't have to wash my hair the whole time. Anywho. So we get on these floaties and we're like, oh, and we also had eye masks on. So we're doing float. So we're floating in the water and we have eye masks on, and we're all 10 girls are in the pool floating in the water. And then we start the ceremony and she's just playing different sounds and we do some breathing exercises. And basically I think it's all to like regulate your nervous system and to actually relax and settle in from our travels, from our fucking lives. It was wonderful. Then, after that, we went and had massages. Well, actually, you could choose. You could choose which kind of treatment you wanted. There was massages, there was manicure, pedicures, reflexology. I don't think there was a facial, but I could have been wrong. My massage was fantastic. I had a masseuse named Terry. She is British. And she was like, oh, you got a bit of an accent on you. And I'm like, it's so funny because I don't feel like I have an accent. I feel like she has an accent. But I guess here I have an accent. I honestly feel like the American accent is no accent. But I guess all accents are accents. Maybe that tea is making me trip. Oh my gosh, I hope no one can hear me talking because they're like, this bitch is talking to herself in her room. Bitch went downstairs and had more of the tea. So we go do I go get my massage. And then they tell us that we can just, you know, we can walk around the grounds. We can do whatever we want. We can stay in our room. Just basically do whatever we want to relax tonight. And then we wake up tomorrow and we have yoga I think it's 7 a.m. But you know, my ass does need to get to bed. It's 10 p.m. right now, but I stayed up till 2 a.m. last night watching The Devil Wears Prada. Shit, I didn't finish it, though. I might finish it. I might finish it tonight. Y'all, it's 10 p.m. still, and the sun is still out. Like, it's definitely setting, but it's still out. I wonder if it actually sets. I don't know, bro. This is crazy. So I got to my room after my massage. I unpacked my suitcases. You know what I have learned from traveling? If I'm staying anywhere for more than like 2 or 3 days, I have to unpack. I have to put my stuff in the furniture. I have to put my suitcases up. They have to be empty, and I have to know that all of my stuff is around the room. My room is fucking huge. Like, I can't even believe how lucky I am with this room. I lucked out. And there's a fan in here. Oh my God, they said something about turning your radiators on. I'm like, what the fuck is a radiator? We ain't got those in the South. In the South of the United States, I don't know what the fuck a radiator is. But I think it's this, like, this metal looking thingy. I think there's multiple in here, but my ass ain't using a radiator. More likely than not, I'll need a fan. And there is a fan in here. It's also, like, cold outside, so. When I was doing the sound bath, I had such a hard time, like, calming my mind down. I always think of so many things, and I either replay things that have already happened, or I think of different scenarios in the future. It's kind of hard to quiet my mind. And, like, we were supposed to make an intention for the sound bath, and that was my intention, was to have a quiet mind. And I did okay, but I still had some racing thoughts. But I just accepted it and tried to roll with it. Do y'all think it's weird if I go downstairs and go get some food at 10 p.m.? Like, I saw some chips, and I really would like, honestly, if I'm being fucking honest, I'd love a sandwich, but I don't think we're equipped for sandwiches here. I also might test out the theory about the food when I get back to London to see how much I can eat. Because if the food here doesn't make you gain weight or bloat or whatever, that's a hell of a selling point to moving to Europe. You know, Europe does not allow for GMO food at all, whereas America does. That should fucking tell us something. I really shouldn't be hating so hard on America, huh? Because it is July 4th this week, and I will be here for July 4th. And there are a few other Americans. I don't know what we will do. Maybe commandeer the house. I don't know. We'll take over. Maybe we'll ask if they'll take us back. Is there a return period? What's the return policy? Y'all, like, this bitch is tripping. I'm not, I promise. But I don't know what I'm going to do when I get back to London. I don't have any plans. I don't have anything, like, specific to do. So if anyone has any ideas on what I can do in London, give me a call. Fuck, I'm not giving out my phone number. Send me an email at therichroompodcast@gmail.com. Ugh, I forgot to add that I was greeted with a glass of Prosecco here. And I thought it was going to be like kumbaya, woo woo, we aren't doing alcohol kind of thing. But I was glad that they had Prosecco. I don't know why. It makes it feel fancy. It makes it feel elevated. And it's just such a nice touch. These bitches know what they're doing. I don't really know what's up on the agenda. This was totally a random booking for me. I was actually in the middle of a fucking breakdown. I don't really remember why, but it was more like the state of my life. And I was crying, and I couldn't distract myself. I'm like crying. I couldn't get out of it. And I fucking hate when that happens. I hate when I can't get out of it. I hate when my emotions feel like they're controlling me. And that happens a lot. I'm going to be fucking honest. I mean, I'm a lot better at it than I used to be, but it happens a lot where I feel overtaken by my emotions. And this specific time, I was super early in the morning, and it was one of those days that I felt like I woke up crying, and I couldn't shake the feeling. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know what's going on. I don't have anything really, like, I think my sewing class had kept me, you know, busy, and I was really excited about it, and that was a nice routine. But when I was done with it, I didn't really have anything else coming up, and I was like, fuck, I feel so stagnant, but at the same time, I feel like I'm changing constantly, and it's just so much to keep up with. And I was looking on Instagram, and I usually do not look at people's stories because it's not that I don't care, but I feel like I could get very, very sucked into scrolling, and I don't think that is good for me. I know that's not good for me. So I generally don't look at other people's stories. I mean, sometimes I do, but it's not the norm. Well, this day I was trying to distract the fuck out of myself. I was trying anything I could to get me out of the emotional rut I felt like I was in. And I saw this, the girl who's putting on this retreat, Natalie, I saw her story and she was like, we have one more spot for our UK retreat, life reset retreat. And I was like, I would like to reset my life. Let's see what this thing is about. So I contacted her, I got the information, and I signed the fuck up. And I just did it right there, impulsively. Signed the fuck up, and here I am. I almost can't believe I'm here. I really can't. And I was kind of scared to come, just, I don't know, I guess feeling emotional in front of strangers and, you know, working on development and stuff, but this is a great group of ladies. When we were going around the table, I mean, several people got emotional and I felt emotional too, even just hearing their stories. And it just, it makes you feel like everyone is fucking struggling. Everyone is fucking struggling. I don't care how good their life looks on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or what the fuck ever. Everyone is struggling. And it just feels like you're not alone, right? It feels like you're not alone hearing other people share their own struggles and their own journeys. It's nice. I'm excited to see what we do tomorrow. I think we're doing like some workshops. I think we all have free time at some point. I mean, I think at this point I'm just going to stay up as late as I can to see when the sun goes down, because what are we on? It's 10 p.m. at night, 10, 11 right now. And I'm just like, I can't stop looking outside. It's also raining a bit. Oh, it's just so fucking English. I love it. Oh my gosh, y'all, I got a new perfume. I have been dying to find a new perfume. You see, my favorite perfume was Marc Jacobs Decadence, and they stopped selling it. And then I found it on eBay. And I was like, oh my God, I found it on eBay. I'm so excited. But when I got it, it didn't smell the same. It didn't feel as like, I don't know. It didn't smell the same. And I don't know if it's because it's people selling it on eBay, so it's not, you know, officially from the brand or whatever, but it just didn't smell the same. It's just like not hitting, you know what I mean? It just wasn't doing what I wanted. So I knew I needed another perfume, and I've been on a Dior kick ever since the new look. I mean, what a great marketing for Dior. I mean, oh my God, and in Harrods, it was so cool. Because in the Dior section, they had all of the little miniature dolls that were made. I don't know if they were actually from World War II, but after World War II, there wasn't enough fabric to go around for people to do collections and for runway shows and stuff like that. So they all of the designers decided that they would do an exhibition and make their dresses in miniature sizes, like in doll sizes. And they did that to preserve the fashion industry after World War II because there wasn't enough supplies for them all to thrive. I fucking love that. Well, those little bitchin' dolls, were in Harrods. I took pictures of them. I need to send them to my sister because she's equally obsessed. So I go to the Dior perfume counter and the woman was French. The guy was definitely French. And he was showing me all these perfumes. He was like, this is our most popular perfume. What was it called? Gris Dior, which means gray. And I like that because I feel like my life is gray. I guess everyone's life is gray. Anyways, it smelled fantastic. He was like, it's very French. It's very chic. And I'm like, the only things you need to say to an American bitch for her to buy something is to say it's very French and it's very chic. I made that purchase so fucking quick. Oh my gosh, it smells so good. I'm about to spray some. So even though it wasn't a gift or anything, they were like, do you want us to box this up? And I was like, well, I mean, it's just for me, so it's not like a gift. They're like, still, we have beautiful ribbon. We have beautiful boxes. We can box this up. Even if it's just for you, it's for you. And I was like, thank you so much. I just feel like people in Europe just know how, like, you to put yourself first, to take care of yourself, and how it's important. I don't know. There was a woman telling us today about how in Denmark, people just leave their babies outside while they go into the grocery store. Like, but they're all wrapped up. They're not cold or anything. And they just stay out there while they shop. And no one steals the babies. I'm like, what? I almost, like, couldn't believe it. I'm like, I was shocked. And I'm like, is Denmark accepting citizenship? Y'all know I am exploring alternative citizenships or dual citizenship of some kind. Just in case the U.S. goes to shit. Just in case. Because sometimes it seems like it. Sometimes it really feels like we're on the brink of, like, destruction or civil war or something like that. I will say that I was watching some British news, and they got their own problems. They got their own problems. And it kind of made me feel better to be like, you know, everywhere has their problems. Nowhere is perfect. Everywhere has their problems. Even Britain's ass has problems. I definitely didn't think the food was going to be good here. I don't know where I saw that. I think I saw that on Reddit or something like that. I did all of this pre-UK trip research and came to all these conclusions, and they have all been dispelled. One, for instance, is that the food is terrible. That's not true. The food is not terrible. The food is actually pretty fucking good. And I thought it was just going to be British food. It's not. Tons of food. There's sushi. When I pulled up in the damn airport, there was Burger King. I'm like, yep. Was it the airport or was it the train station? Whatever. There was Burger King. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel comfortable. I feel comforted by this sight. There's lots of Indian food, Italian food, Mediterranean food, all of it. I'm shocked how the diversity of food. I'm shocked at the diversity of food here. Okay, well, I am going to creep on downstairs and see if I can get a little snack. Maybe watch the rest of The Devil Wears Prada. And watch the sunset. I may be up all night waiting for the sun to set, but here we are, you know? It's a fucking party. Thank you for joining me today. Follow my social medias at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. I think the next time I'll be speaking to you will be from London. And don't forget to hit me with your suggestions at therichroompodcast@gmail.com. Cheerio.